1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 and 19 together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. All together. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you for the shed blood of our Savior, and I thank you for this passage that we'll be preaching on this morning. I pray, Father, you give us ears to hear, that you would just strengthen our faith because of what Christ has done on our behalf. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there's a lot in these two verses, but I want us to focus on a phrase that is found in verse 19, and it says, the precious blood of Christ. Now, in the Bible, several things are said to be precious, such as one's soul, gemstones, life, gold, the death of saints, ointment, God's thoughts to his people, wisdom, lips of knowledge, a good name, Jesus, the faith, the promises of God, and the blood of Christ. The word precious means valuable, costly, and that which is highly esteemed. While the Bible speaks of many precious things, that which should top the list is the blood of Jesus Christ. For everything a Christian is or can be is because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God. I know that there are those among so-called Christendom who want nothing to do with the blood, and they call what we believe here at Faith Baptist Church a bloody religion. Or they even use a derogatory term that we hold to a slaughterhouse faith. These infidels, which are nothing more than folks in for hell, can mock the sacrificial death of Christ all they want to, but I, for one, am thrilled beyond words to be part of the blood-washed throng. I am a king and a priest because Christ loved me and he washed me from my sin in his own blood. While others may be whitewashed, those who have placed their faith in the bloody cross of Christ have been washed white from all their sin. A few years ago, I went to hear a Southern Gospel quartet. Now, if you don't like that music or you have something against it, then feel free to keep your mouth shut and keep your opinion to yourself. Well, one of those testified that as they traveled across this nation, they pulled their bus into a parking lot of a church. And there they were met by a pastor, one of Satan's messengers, an angel of light that was really an angel of darkness. And he told them, "We don't want to hear you singing about the blood." Now, many of the hymn books found in these apostate churches have taken out songs that contain about that speak of the shed blood of Jesus. Now, while they may have removed them out of their songbooks and no longer sing of the precious blood of Christ, we here will lift up our voice in praise to the Lamb for sinners slain. And I will preach on the blood, for it is found throughout the HIM book. And besides, when we get to heaven, the theme of the new song we'll be singing will be about the blood of the crucified Christ. Revelation 5, 9, and 10 tells us, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You know, let them take the blood out of their hymn book. But I'm telling you, this hymn book, you can't take the blood out of there because it's there to say, stay, and if you cut it anywhere, I believe it'll bleed. This matter of a blood sacrifice for the sin of man started way back in the Garden of Eden when God killed innocent animals to clothe Adam and Eve with their skins. You also read about Abel offering up the firstling of his flock. Of Noah, after the ark settled on Mount Ararat, he offered upon an altar clean beasts and fowls. You find Abraham offering up a ram on Mount Moriah. The Jews offering lambs on the Passover before their deliverance from Egypt. Under the law, the Jews offered lambs and bullocks, pigeons, doves, and goats. And blood was shed. And they all pointed to Jesus, who one day would die the death for sinners on that cruel cross of Calvary. And as Leviticus tells us, there is life in the blood. Way back in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac asked Abraham the question, where is the lamb? Abraham, his father, replied, God will provide himself a lamb. And Isaiah 53 describes the Messiah as the sacrificial lamb. And once Mary had that little lamb, by the means of the virgin birth, it wasn't but 30 years later when John the Baptist laid eyes on Jesus and declared that he was the Lamb of God that came and he will take away the sin of the world. It would be some 3.5 years later, on a little hillside outside the holy city of Jerusalem, that God's sacrificial lamb would shed his blood on the cross and die in order that we might be saved. What the blood of goats and calves could not do, the Lamb of God accomplished, for by his own blood he'd entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I remember working at a hospital in Chicago, not a hospital, a hotel in Chicago. And one day I had 3 JWs around me. And one of them said something, and I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And one of them spoke up and mocked the blood. I said, you know what kind of Baptist they call me? They said, no. I said, they call me a fighting fundamentalist. And I said, you know what? If you don't stop mocking the blood, you're going to find out why.
That's right.
You're going to find out why, because my blood is about to boil and I'm about to shed some of yours.
Amen.
I've read of one cloaked in religious garb who said the message of the cross is passé. It's past its prime. So forget the fanatics who rave about Christ's blood. These ministers who give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils make such blasphemous remarks because the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. These Bible-rejecting perpetrators of error who would pervert the gospel of Christ are literally enemies of the cross. And Paul says they are cursed. They may be as bold as a lion as they mock the language of God's holy word, which tells us in Isaiah 53 verse 7 that he, speaking of Jesus, was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And they may joke about what God wrote in Leviticus 17 verse 11 that states, it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. These fools, draped in clerical robes, will tell you that the way to heaven is a bloodless way. You can get there by good works that you do, by keeping the law, by following the golden rule, or through some type of religious act. They all proclaim a broad way that leads to destruction. But if one is to be saved, if one is to go to the Father's house, they must go by the blood of Jesus Christ. One is delivered like the Jews of old on the eve of the Passover, and that is by having the shed blood of the Lamb applied to their soul. In the New Testament, there are 290 references to the love of God. 290 times where God has declared his love for sinful man. But in those same chapters and in those same verses, There are more than 1,300 references to the atonement, or 1,300 assurances that salvation can only be had through the means of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You see, they have their dead, bloodless songs. I say, we lift up our voices in praise to Him who is worthy. And let others know that we are saved by the blood of the crucified ones. Our sins are all pardoned. Our guilt is all gone because we're saved by the blood of the crucified one. Number two, we are justified by the blood. Romans 3:24 and 26 says, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and justify him which believeth in Jesus. Then we read in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There are three words that express the price God paid for our salvation. They're found in Romans 3:24 and 25. And they are propitiation. They are redemption. And the blood. Propitiation means a satisfying of God's holy law. Redemption is the buying back. And the blood tells us what the price was that was paid for our souls. Jesus had to die on the cross in order to satisfy God's holy law. He had to justify, and it was the means whereby sinners are justified. Now the word justification has been defined by some as just as if I have never sinned. In other words, when one comes to Christ for salvation and has the blood of Christ applied for the remission of their sin, immediately and instantaneously, God looks at that person as though they have never committed a single sin. We are made completely righteous through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if that don't light your fire, my friend, your wound is wet. You say, is this possible? Yes. For those who are saved, God no longer sees our iniquities. He sees us as righteous as Jesus Christ Himself. Listen, anyone can have a fresh start. And thank God He gave me one. They can have a brand new beginning and have no record of their sin held against them anymore. Justification isn't a result of God closing His eyes and forgetting that one has sinned. In order for God to justify the ungodly, He had to deal with their ungodliness. Subsequently, for one to be justified, there has to be a Savior willing to pay the price with His own shed blood. You say, how can someone like John Rainey ever become just? My answer to you is by the blood of the crucified one. His blood has given me a new standing before God. A brand new life as I've been quickened. I'm no longer dead in my trespasses and sin. Let others speak ill of the blood. But as for me and the saints here at Faith Baptist Church, we will be singing, I am justified. I'm happy in Jesus. My sins, which were many, are all washed away. The sins I've committed are all in the past. They'll never condemn me, for Christ holds me fast. Those who are saved, those who are justified, those who have faith in the blood of the crucified, buried, risen Christ are born again and enjoy eternal life. It's through the blood we are justified. We are saved. It's through the blood we also experience redemption. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we read, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Then, of course, our text verses tell us this. For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Redemption means to deliver a thing or a person, and to buy back by paying a price. In the Old Testament book of Genesis, we read that God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He told them this in Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then the enemy of God and man, that split-tongued, slimy serpent, got Eve's attention, and he told her a lie, ye shall not surely die. Just exactly opposite of what God said was going to happen. Eve chose to listen to the lies of the devil rather than what God has said. And then we read in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Immediately, this act of transgression brought sin into the human race. This selling out to the devil by Adam and Eve brought about the bondage of all their descendants, and we are all one of their descendants. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then in verse 18 of that same chapter we read, therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, because of Adam's sin, we find ourselves in bondage to iniquity and into bondage of Satan, and we are in need, great need of being delivered. So who is willing to redeem us? One sinful man cannot deliver another sinful man. One sinful man cannot purchase another man's redemption. Well, to set us free and to pay the price, we need one who is willing to die in our place. None other than the Redeemer himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price of our redemption, the precious blood of Christ. This means that you do not have to be a slave to sin or to Satan any longer. Christ shed his blood to set you free. The word redemption means to purchase out of the slave market of sin and set free, never to be enslaved again. This is why we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. When one places their faith in the shed blood of the Redeemer, they are delivered once, and they are delivered for all times. And if that don't get you goosebumps, I don't know what will. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus. I read a story about a preacher who came across a boy in his Sunday school class. And that boy was carrying a cage containing 5 sparrows. Well, the preacher said, son, what are you going to do with those 5 sparrows? Those 5 little birds, what you going to do with them? He said, well, preacher, he says, I'm going to go home. I'm going to feed them to my cat. The preacher looked at the cage and those condemned sparrows, and he couldn't believe his heart was broken over those little sparrows, because God keeps his eye on the sparrow. He said, I'll give you $5 for those birds. The boy agreed. He handed the cage sparrows to the preacher. The preacher opened up the cage, took out the sparrows. He tossed them into the air. And as he watched them take flight, he said, I could almost hear them sing, redeemed! Jesus shed his blood to set the sinner free. Those who want nothing to do with the blood, they're still in bondage. They got nothing to sing about. But those of us who've been washed white can sing unashamedly. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Oh, let those who make derogatory remarks about the blood suffer for their slander. But let the redeemed by the blood rejoice, and they are free at last. Free at last, yes, free at last. Then number four, it's by the blood of Christ whereby we are cleansed from all our sin. We are cleansed from all our sin. Today we hear a lot about the death of Christ for sinners. But Christ could have died numerous ways. He could have died by drowning. He could have been died by stoning. But the Bible says He must go to the cross of Calvary and fulfill all prophecy, and He did so. Hebrews 9:22 tells us why. For without the shedding of blood is no remission. And 1 John 1:7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood occurs three times as often as does the terminology of the cross, and five times as frequently as the death of Christ. Yes, He died on the cross, and there then He was buried, and then He rose again 3 days later. But folks, He shed His blood, and He gave His liquid life for us sinners, and thank God that He did. For there is life in that soul-cleansing blood. I know the day when the blood of Christ was applied to my account. And Isaiah 44:22 became my reality as it tells us this. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Praise the Lord! The reason my transgressions were blotted out was because they were blooded out. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11 says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice this. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here are some of the most vile sins that man can commit. And yet here we read that sinners were washed from them. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God. No one can commit a sin that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse. Think of it. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to wash away man's worst degradations. Thank God for that. There once was a gathering of all the major religions of the world, happened in Chicago during the World Fair. During one session, a preacher of the gospel stood up. And he said, gentlemen, lend me your ear. I present to you a woman with great sorrow. Blood stains are on her hands, and nothing she has tried will remove the guilt of the murder that she has committed. Is there anyone here among all you religions that can offer her anything that will remove that stain of sin and give her peace? A hush came over the crowd. Raising his eyes toward heaven, the preacher cried out, The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Well, many are whitewashed and want nothing to do with the blood and are still in their sins. Yet those of us who are washed in the blood, we can surely sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How foolish are they to take the hymns about the blood out of the songbooks when the HIM book speaks so much about it. Yes, we're saved by the blood, justified by the blood, we're redeemed by the blood, and thank God we're cleansed from all our sin by the shed blood of the Lamb. And then lastly, let me give you a few more blessings that come to you by the means of the blood of the cross. First of all, we're sanctified. Hebrews 13, verse 12 says, wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The word sanctified means we are set apart for God. We are set apart by God. And we are considered holy positionally. We are no longer have to wonder about our standing with the Almighty, thrice holy God. Through our Lord's Jesus' shed blood, we can also have peace with God. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know, a lost person, they're at enmity with God. Then the only way the war ceases between the sinner and God is through the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Yes, peace with God is possible, but it's only through his blood. There's also deliverance from the fear of death. From the fear of death. Can I say this? Sure I can. Why do God's people fear death? I don't understand it. You know, the only ones who are crying are the ones who are left behind. The ones who die, they get to be with Jesus. That sounds pretty good to me. Amen. I know my wife used to say, man, if there was a next train going to heaven, my husband would be on it. And you know what? She'd be right. This old world has nothing for me. The only reason I'm still here is because it's God's will that I'm still here. But if I went today, I'd be one happy man. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What this is saying is, Christ came from heaven. He took upon himself a body. He died in that body, shed his blood, and destroyed the power Satan wielded over us concerning the fear of death. Yet through trusting in that blood, death's sting is no longer to be feared, and we can assure ourselves, like the Apostle Paul, to die is gain. Amen. Read a story about two brothers. They're out playing, and as one bee came and stung the younger brother, and the younger brother was in pain, and that bee just kept circling around the older brother, and he was all scared and going, oh, oh, and he ran to his grandfather, and his grandfather said, what's wrong with you, boy? He says, well, you know what, that bee, he stung my little brother, and he says, you know what, he's been following me. And his grandfather said, you don't have to worry, son. Your younger brother took the sting. You don't have to bear it anymore. Amen. Jesus bore the sting of sin in his own body. We got nothing now to fear. Those who dismiss the blood don't believe this book. They forsake all that the blood can do for them. They may not be able to sing the songs that we do, but I, for one, enjoy singing down at the cross where my Savior died. Downward for cleansing from sin I cry. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I hope you are not whitewashed, but that you have not embraced a bloodless way of salvation, because it will come to naught. If that be your case, you need to come to Jesus. Put your faith in the Savior who gave His life, given blood to save you, to justify you, redeem you, and cleanse you from all sin, to sanctify you and give you peace with God and take away your fear of death. Yes, He'll even put a new song in your heart. And maybe it will be, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Then to those who have the blood applied, He died for you. So why not live for Him? You see, you're sanctified. So let's start living that way. Start living holy lives. And let's never stop singing songs about the shed blood of the crucified one. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.